You know, we are given a task as God's servants to prepare ourselves. Above and foremost over all other responsibilities, over all other desires and wants that we might have, as God's servants, we have to put Him first. Matthew 6 that expresses exactly this focus that we all should have. Matthew 6 and beginning in verse 31. Matthew 6 and beginning in verse 31. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For all these things are the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Seek first the kingdom of God. You know, we are given this command, this focus as God's true servants, not so that we can just save ourselves, not so that we can just remove ourselves from the possibilities of trials and tribulations, especially in the end times. And, you know, these scriptures are clear about not putting those physical worries ahead of ourselves, not becoming overly worried that we can't get some of the necessities. God will provide those necessities if we are showing Him that we are focused on His kingdom. But we're given this command that we can be also lights to this world, that we can, by showing how we focus towards the kingdom of God, how we focus towards God's Himself, that we aren't focused on those earthly things, that people might see that we are acting differently, that we are lights for a different way of life. Because, you know, putting the kingdom of God and the plan God has for mankind first above all other things in our lives sets us apart. It makes us stand out from the world. Keeping the Sabbath. Now, some keep the seventh day Sabbath. Observing the holy days. Well, that cuts out a huge swath of people that might be keeping the Sabbath. Rejecting unclean meats. Rejecting pagan holidays. By the time you've listed some of those traits of God's servants, you have removed the vast majority of people professing to do just what we are doing, of professing Christianity. You know, we don't fit in with many other religions that claim, on the surface, many of the same principles and ideals that we are trying to practice, that we are to be lights to this world, proving how it works. You know, it's important then that we are setting ourselves apart successfully, because we are giving glory to God through everything we do. At all times, we are those lights shining on the hills. Matthew 5 and verse 16. Matthew 5 and verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. By seeing how we live our lives as those bright shining lights, we are glorifying God. You know, once illuminated, once we have become those lights, they cannot go out. We can't turn those lights off, stop being an example for God's way of life as we see fit. Once we have agreed by taking on God's Holy Spirit and becoming baptized, once we have chosen this way of life, our lights shine. Now, if we don't take care of those, of our spirit and of our calling, we will dim. We will stop being examples for God's glory. So that must be our focus. We have to strive to glorify God at all times. Because it's in this state of shining that God's going to use us. Not because we have reached perfection, not because we are the great illumination like Christ was, but it's because we are showing fruits of willingness, showing fruits that we are trying with all that we can to glorify God. That's what he's interested in. Matthew 7, and verse 15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Well, that's how we are going to be known, brethren, by our fruits, by how we are being those examples of a different way and of a glorified way of life. You know, I'm part of a outdoor program with my sons, and currently we're in the fishing program, or the fishing section of it, about 15 weeks, and we do three-week sections of different activities. Well, this past week, my oldest son, Camus, and I were out fishing, and we were having great luck catching bass, which I would consider because of my due diligence of buying the correct lures. You know, because I buy, not for myself, but for three fishermen, when I saw a bargain bin full of cheap lures, I knew that's what we're going to fish with, and that's what we're going to catch fish with. And we've gotten lucky, and we've caught them with that. But we were out fishing, both using the same exact type of lure, and we're catching fish, catching nice bass, while others around us weren't. You know, at some point, somebody near us, a dad that wasn't catching much, sent his daughter running over, and she began by saying, "That is a great-looking fish. By the way, what are you using to catch him?" So I showed her the lures that we were using. And he sent her over in hopes of finding what it was that we were throwing out that was catching where they weren't. Now, when we were out there, we weren't fishing with the intent of showing off or displaying how good of a fisherman we were, which we aren't really, or the fact that we can outfish people with those cheap lures. We were intent, as most everybody else, of just simply catching fish. Similar to what we should be doing as Christians. We should be focused on simply doing the work of God, being those lights. But you know, with what we were doing out there, our success drew attention. Then not everybody ran to see what we were doing, what we were fishing with, but someone did. They saw the fruits, all those fish we were pulling in, of our actions, and it compelled them to come over and see what they could do to do the same. And it's not really much different. I mean, Christ used analogies of becoming fisher of men to all of his disciples who were fishermen. It's a similar analogy. If we are doing things that, not just because they're different, but because they are right in God's eyes, when God wants to call somebody, he can point them to us. He can lead them to us. By and based upon our good examples, he can draw them in and make them our fellow brethren. So likewise, brethren, we must be doing and be found doing the work of God at all times. The fruits of that work, and conversely even the lack of showing fruits, are going to be visible to all. 1 Peter 3, and beginning in verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defile you as evildoers, those who revile you, your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. Always being ready, brethren. Our preparation in being ready to give an answer begins by the attitude Peter talks about. We are to sanctify God, or sanctify the Lord God in our hearts. Because without God truly ruling in our hearts, we can't please Him. It's as simple as that. So, brethren, let's be found doing that.